today as we come to the table.
What a great promise this is. God says, everything I've given you, if you'll just go and take it, I'll give it to you. And the sad thing is, some of the children of Israel didn't get the land that God gave them because they wouldn't go and take it. And you know, when God says, I'm giving you the land, it doesn't mean that it's easy always. Sometimes there's a battle when it comes to what God has given you. God has made promises to everyone in here. And when God says he's going to give you something, you know, yes, he'll give it to you, but you've got to do your part. God expects us to step out and do what we're supposed to do. You know, when God gave us this land and said, here, build a building on it. Well, I knew God gave us this land. I knew God was going to let us build a building on it, but we had to take some action, didn't we?
We sometimes wonder why we aren't receiving God's blessings, don't we? God is a loving and giving Father, but he doesn't control our actions. He has all the blessings extended to us with open hands, but he won't make us take them. We have to reach out and grab them. It takes some amount of action on our part. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In Pastor Mark's message today, he'll encourage you to reach out and grab the blessings God has for you. Jesus died and rose again to give you life. But that did you no good until you take a step of faith and accepted Jesus as your Savior. In the same way, God wants you to move in faith to receive the gifts he has for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
We start a new book. We get in the book of Joshua. So I'm excited about that. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Joshua. And what a rich book Joshua is. This is going to be quite the journey going through Joshua. And you know, it's interesting. Every time you go through a different book of the Bible, God has something different he wants to say to his flock. And so we're going to be grazing in a different field. But again, a lot of neat things. You know, Joshua is a book of new beginnings and new conquerings and God's faithfulness in the promised land. And so my heart, and we prayed tonight even before we started, that this would be a time of conquering and new starts and new beginnings and entering the promised land in a fresh new way as we go through the book of Joshua. So God's timing and God's direction is perfect. Trusting him to do that. So why don't we pray? Let's ask for God to bless it, and let's go through the book of Joshua. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the book of Joshua. God, what a powerful book it is, and what amazing things you teach us and show us. Lord, as you use Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and God, you use your spirit to lead us into the promised land now. And so I pray that this would be an amazing journey. God, I pray you would just teach us, you would feed us. Lord, I pray you would, again, encourage us into going into new places, new victories, conquering, Lord, the enemy in new places. And you're a God of exciting, fresh things. And so, God, do that. Open your word to us. And again, just we're here to hear you and to be ministered to by your word. So, God, speak to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua is one of my favorite books of the Bible. God has used the book of Joshua to speak to me and really in a lot of things even to do with this land. So there's a lot of personal connections here to the book of Joshua. Slight introduction, then we'll jump right into it. As you remember, Moses had now led them up to the edge of the promised land. But as we talked about before, the law can never take you into the fullness of Christ. The law can never take you into that promised land. The law can't get you into that place in Jesus that we need to be. The law is just a tutor. The law is the school bus, if you will, to drive us to where we need to get. The Bible talks about it being an instructor that keeps us in line while we're young, so to speak, and takes us where we need to be. But the law is not freedom in Christ. It is not moving on into that freshness in the Lord. That comes through Joshua, which, by the way, Joshua translates into Jesus, Yeshua, into Jesus in the New Testament. So the book of Jesus is almost really what this book's entitled, if you want to look at it as far as the translation goes. And really, that's what this picture is. The law has now been fulfilled in type through Moses. And now this whole picture of Jesus taking over and now leading his people into the promised land. And I want to encourage you guys in this as well, because a lot of people, and over the years, I think the church has in some areas, maybe wrongfully taught this, and maybe it's more of just the worship songs. They talk about the promised land as that, you know, that place we're going to go when we die, you know. And again, we do have a promise of heaven. But when the Bible talks about the promised land and this whole typology that's used here, it's not talking about when we die. This is talking about right now. God wants us to walk in the promised land now. He wants you to walk in victory. He wants you to defeat the enemy and to walk with the Lord, with your Joshua, with Jesus, into this promised land now. And so that's what this book is all about. So I know God's going to really minister some neat things to us as we go through the book of Joshua. So let's just jump into it. Notice what happens. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now I want to pause there for a moment, first line of verse 2, because this is huge for Joshua. Joshua has been looking to Moses as his leader. Can you imagine being an assistant to Moses? I look back and I was an assistant to my pastor for years before God sent us out, and I respected my pastor, and it was intimidating to get in the pulpit after he did. He would teach, and if he would leave and say, okay, Mark, you're going to cover this Sunday or whatever, that was intimidating because he was the pastor and he was the guy that I looked to. It was an honor to be his assistant, but he was the guy. And everybody in the church looked to him as the guy, so to speak. And so I think of on a very small level where I was, and just that feeling of, you know, being that assistant to the main person. Imagine what Joshua's feeling. Moses was spoken to greater than any other man really in history. The Bible says face to face the Lord spoke to Moses. He literally gave Moses the law. He gave Moses the specifics of how to build the temple with actual dimensions. I mean, this was a one-on-one, face-to-face talking relationship with God. And there hasn't been anybody like Moses as far as this type of intimacy with the Lord since Moses. And so that's your leader. You're the number two guy. He's the one doing it. You're serving him. You're assisting him. He's always the one that has the answers. If you've got issues and problems, you run to him. Suddenly he's dead. Guess what? Time to step up, Joshua, and trust the Spirit of the Lord. And I remember when God sent us out, you know, and coming here, and suddenly I didn't have my pastor around to ask questions to. And I remember, you don't have that person to run to and ask questions. And I remember God speaking to my heart saying, no, now you seek me. Run to me. It's good to have counselors. And you want other people you get counsel from. Don't get me wrong on that. But it's now time for you to step up and start learning to talk with the Lord. And God will do that with you guys as well. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times people will say, and especially it happens with younger believers, they need a lot more attention when they're younger in the Lord. And that's okay. We all do. I needed it too. It's just like a child growing up. You need a lot more attention from your leaders. You're growing. You have a lot of questions. You need that extra encouragement. You learn to walk a little bit more on your own as time goes by. And it's interesting to watch over the years because some of these younger believers, they would say, you know, I was trying to get a hold of you. I've been calling you. I tried to find you all day yesterday and couldn't find you. And maybe I didn't have my phone with me, or I was somewhere, there wasn't reception or whatever. And they couldn't get a hold of me. And they said, I had to have an answer. And I was just, got to get a hold of Pastor Mark. And said, you know what? I couldn't find you all that day. And so I just started praying. And you know what? I don't need you now. God spoke to me. And it was so neat. And I love that because that's really a great thing to learn as a young believer. And that is, yes, we want our pastor. Yes, we want our friend who knows the Lord more than we do. Yes, we want good counsel. And the Bible says there's wisdom in that. Don't ever think you can't go to your pastor or that you don't need other people in wisdom. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But there's a great lesson in learning that when you can't find that person you always look to for counsel and you start looking toward the Lord, it's amazing how clearly and powerfully he can speak. And so it's a great maturity thing that we go through as believers when we find those things. And I know I went through that with my pastor, not being able to get a hold of him or get all the answers I wanted, you know, and God does that. Well, this is where Joshua is. Moses is dead, Joshua. You can't run to him now and say, Moses, what do we do? I mean, there's a Red Sea that needs to be split. Where's Moses? You know, it's you now, Joshua. There's a Jordan River that needs to be split. Where's Moses? He's dead. He's dead. It's time now for you to step up to the plate here, Joshua, and trust God the way that Moses did. Again, it's that step into further maturity. And so there's a lot in that first sentence or verse 2 that would have spoken very clearly from the Lord as he said this right to Joshua's heart. He says, now therefore, you know, Moses sitting around, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. It's kind of interesting, almost like when he said, go over the Red Sea. Now as you go over this Jordan, that you and all this people to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. So you're the leader now. Step up and go for it. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses. And so what a great promise this is. God says, everything I've given you, if you'll just go and take it, I'll give it to you. And the sad thing is, some of the children of Israel didn't get the land that God gave them because they wouldn't go and take it. You know, when God says, I'm giving you the land, it doesn't mean that it's easy always. Sometimes there's a battle when it comes to what God has given you. God has made promises to everyone in here. And when God says he's going to give you something, you know, Yes, he'll give it to you, but you've got to do your part. God expects us to step out and do what we're supposed to do. You know, when God gave us this land and said, here, build a building on it. Well, I knew God gave us this land. I knew God was going to let us build a building on it. But we had to take some action, didn't we? We had to call up contractors and we had to make plans and work out the finances and all that. So we have our part to do when that happens. But if we don't take any action, we can lose some of the things that the Lord has given us. So the promises of God are yours to take, but you've got to take them and you've got to do your part. And he's saying, basically, I've given you the land. Now go and take the land. Don't just sit back and expect me to do everything. I'm going to do it, but you need to do your part because I want you to grow and be a part of this. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now look what he's saying here. The land all the way over to the Euphrates. Look at the territory that God gave the nation of Israel. This is all the way over to what we'd say today is modern day Iraq and Iran. They never took all that land, did they? You know why? They didn't have faith. They didn't step out and do it. It's interesting to me today when I see the land that God has given the nation of Israel and promised them, and people get upset because of the land they have today. They go to just like the western part of Israel, which they call the West Bank, but it's really just Israel, called ancient Samaria. And so on the news, you hear that it's the West Bank, and the Palestinians jump up and down and say that it's occupied territory and the Jews should leave. Not only did God give that area clearly to the Jews, he gave all of Jordan all the way through Iraq over to the Euphrates. That's Israel's land. So if you want to get technical, Iraq and Jordan need to get off Israel's land. That's what God said. Now, that would go over like a lead balloon, wouldn't it, in the world, you know, news or in the whatever. But that's the land that God gave them. And because they were disobedient, they didn't get all the land that God gave them. God will give them that land when he comes back. In the millennial kingdom, they'll have all the land that God promised them, and it will be theirs. Right now, they only have a certain portion of it. And I've never done a land mass ratio, but I wonder if it comes out to a tenth. I wonder if God has given them a tithe of the land. I don't know. But if you're good at figuring up land mass and you want to go to the Bible and figure out how much God said and look at what they have, and I wonder if God didn't just give them a remnant just to preserve them, as God promised that he would, to bring them back in the last days. And God has given them that down payment, so to speak. And before long, they'll have all the land that God has promised them. But this was a great promise. And we're going to see Joshua later on when he's dying fusses at them and says, how long will you sit back and not go take the land? Go get the land that God's given you. But it's hard. It's going to take effort. Yeah, it's going to take effort. You know, whenever you go to serve the Lord and you even to take the promises God has given you, sometimes it takes some effort and sometimes it's a little bit hard. That's okay. That's part of the battle. Because go back to the no pain, no gain. You know, you've got to fight. But God is faithful to give us what he promises if we do our part. Notice what he says. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That exactly what Jesus told the disciples. And what I love about this, you know, this is all I need to hear. If God says to me, Mark, I will be with you and I'm going to be with you. And God's spoken that to me. God has spoken that to you. He said, I'm going to be with you. Fill your name in the blank. So God is with you. He's promised you that he's going to be with you. Believe him and move forward in what it is that God's called you to do. And so this is a great promise and a great encouragement. I can tell you, as a leader of God's people, this would be a great thing to hear, because you'd be going, you know, Moses was the man. What do I do now? I'm little Joshy, right? And so Moses, he was the one that now suddenly I'm supposed to step up and be the leader. And God's going to say this here in verse 6. He's going to say this several times here to Joshua at the beginning. And actually, God said this through Moses at the end of Deuteronomy. We already saw God begin to speak through Moses to Joshua. The very thing he says right here in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. He's going to say this over and over. Why? Because no doubt Joshua was not strong and of good courage all the time. Now that should be encouraging to all of us in here. Because just because Joshua was the leader of the nation of Israel does not mean that he's always courageous and he was always strong. Sometimes we're not strong. Sometimes we're not courageous, but we step forward anyway. And we say, God, you're going to have to fight this battle. You told me to do it. I'll be strong. I'll be of good courage. He says, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Notice he repeats it again one verse later. Only be strong and very courageous. That you may observe, here it is, to do, not to hear, not to sit back and wait on God, take God's promises, but you've got your part. Observe to do according to all the law, not just part of it, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Stick to the word of God. Don't veer from it. You'll be prosperous. I was talking to somebody right before the service, and he was saying, you know what? So much of the church, you know, he talked to other church people and other believers and other things he was sharing with me a while back. much of the church, he was commenting, is compromising in so many areas today because of the culture. Maybe you saw in the news this week, they were saying 77% of liberal college students, okay, educated liberal college students, 77% in a recent survey said that gender cannot be determined at birth. Now think about that for a moment. Think about that. We've gotten so messed up in the culture and in what our society's telling us that certain groups of our culture can't even determine whether a baby's a boy or a girl by looking at their anatomy. Now that's really messed up. It makes me think of Romans chapter 1. What does the Bible say? Professing themselves to be wise, what? They became fools. Yeah. It's whatever the culture says. Listen, as believers and followers of Jesus, guys, we can never base our viewpoint on the culture. We can't look at the culture and what society is saying. We have to stand on the Word of God. That's our only basis, and that's the only way we're going to stay on track. And so here what he's saying is, stay in the Word, don't veer to the right or the left, but I'll be persecuted. Yeah, you probably will be. And the more we fall away as a nation from the Lord, the more you're going to be persecuted. But guys, we need to stand with Jesus. It's going to be worth it. Trust me, you're going to get a great reward one day. You're not going to regret that you stood in the right place. Now we stand in love. You know, but we stand. And so this is what he's telling Joshua to do. Joshua, you've got to stand. You can't go to the right or the left on this. Listen to what he goes on about the Word of God. Here's what he said. This book, speaking of God's Word, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And this right here, guys, is one of the most important verses in all the Bible. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Notice that you may observe to do, not just hear, but to do according to all that is written in it, for then, note that, I have that underlined, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. This is an amazing promise from God right here. It's something I've tried my best to instill in my girls, and I believe they've got it. And that is this, get in the Word day and night. He doesn't say how much. Not laying a burden on your back. You've got to read this much or you're failing God. You got to pray this long or you're failing. No, he didn't say that. He just says, be in my Word day and night. And what the pattern that I've set for the girls over the years and that I do myself is in the morning, in the Word of God, and then in the evening, the Word of God. And, you know, we don't hit, you know, every night we don't do it. If I can't get with the girls, I'll say to them because of our schedules, especially when they hit the teen years, you know, it gets harder. I say, guys, look, can't do it tonight. Do your own. Or sometimes I'm too tired. And I'll say, do your own Bible tonight. But I encourage them, read your Bible. You're going to read? Yes. And they do. And this is something, why have I instilled this in the girls? Number one, because God's Word, it's not like you're going to be in sin if you don't. Okay, this is not a burden to lay on you. But here's what God promises. He promises if you do that, you will be blessed of the Lord. You can't get away from it. God promises. So when God makes a promise, we can stand on it. He says, you will be prosperous. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean financially, although it could be. That's not really what this is about. This is spiritual prosperity. You will grow in spirit. You're going to know the Word of God. You wake up starting your day with God's Word. You go to bed meditating on it at night. And it's this constant just recycling of the Word of God throughout your life. And you're going to just, you have answers. You see things that other people don't see. You understand things that other people don't understand. What did the psalmist say? He said, I'm wiser than my teachers. That wasn't a statement of arrogance. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through him saying, you know what? My teachers don't understand things that I do. They may be more educated in this area of science or that area of whatever, but I understand what's going on. You know, you look around, we know more of what's happening in the world today than the world does just because of the Word of God. The world doesn't understand that we're working toward a one-world government. The world doesn't understand that we're working toward, you know, all these different things, a one world currency. They don't understand that there's going to be a one world leader who's going to take the world over. You know more than most of the professors in the universities. You might not know more about anatomy or how the heart works as a surgeon might know and that kind of thing. But as far as just understanding what's happening, when you watch the news and you see the racial tensions, you understand it. Because Jesus said, right before I come back, there's going to be tremendous racial tensions, and they're going to get worse and worse the closer it gets to me coming back. So the world watches it and goes, this and that, and they give all the different reasons. I don't know the reasons. I just know Jesus said it was going to happen. So I understand it. So because I understand it, then I can encourage others, you know, and how to avoid it and pray for it and all these kind of things. So God gives great wisdom in this. And so I encourage you guys, meditate day and night and say, well, how do I do that, Mark? Here's how to do this. Don't overburden yourself, but try this. If you don't have a habit of getting in the Word, read a chapter in the morning. Just read a chapter. God, open your word to me. Get your Bible and say, Lord, open your word to me. I want you to show me your word. Okay? Ask the Holy Spirit to do it. Then read a chapter. As much as you want to read, read, but at least a chapter. And then when you're done, stop. Then before you go to bed at night, read another chapter. And just, you know, if moms and dads, read it with your kids. You know, hear the word of God. One of the funnest times for me. I don't know for the girls, but for me, sitting down and reading the word with them, I love to hear their insights. I love to hear their viewpoints. I learn a lot from them. As they make comments, as we go through the word, it's fun to me and it's a blessing. God says, you do that, I'm going to bless you. Now he goes on, verse 9, have I not commanded you? There's a command, but now he's going to say, not only with the word of God day and night, but he goes on to say, be strong and of good courage. There it is again. He keeps repeating that. You know, Joshua, be strong. Be of good courage. I'm with you. Do not be afraid or be dismayed. Now, why would God say that? Because no doubt Joshua sometimes was afraid and dismayed. So when you're afraid and dismayed, well, then you're in good company. So was Joshua. Okay? So God knows that we have these struggles. And here's why we shouldn't be afraid and dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, one of the most comforting things, this may not be a comfort to you guys, but one of the most comforting things to me is that when everything seems to be getting crazy and all these different stresses or tensions come in, and maybe it can be different things. It could be financial, it could be meetings, it could be issues, whatever they are. Worst case scenario, everything collapses and falls apart. We still go to heaven. That comforts me. I mean, worst case scenario, you lose your home, your car, your family. That's basically a country song in reverse, right? Or whatever. I don't know. But you lose your dog, your wife, everything. That'd be country song in reverse. But let's say you lose everything. Nobody looks forward to that. That's not fun. Who would enjoy that? But you look at the prophet that said, Lord, though the barns be empty and everything be gone, he said, you know, we have victory in Christ. So, yeah, this world can beat us up pretty bad, but we win. We win in the end. We have promise for eternity. God has promised us. It's just very comforting to me. He says, the Lord will be with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. I find it interesting that Joshua, this picture of Jesus, after 3 days, the promised land was available. And after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, Jesus rose from the dead. And now we have the promised land available through our Joshua, through our Yeshua, through Jesus, because of his death and resurrection and the cross. And so now we can enter the promised land after that 3-day sacrifice that he made for us, that 3-day waiting period, if you will, which has already been done through Jesus. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, that is the shorter ones. Just kidding. Half-tribe Manasseh spoke to Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, the mighty men of valor, and help them. Remember, there were certain ones, the Reubenites, half-tribe of Manasseh, they stayed on this side of the Jordan. You know, that's where they were going to have their inheritance, but they had to go in the promised land and fight with everyone else first.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. The Israelites' journey to the Promised Land had reached a peak, as it was recorded in the book of Joshua. They were there, but not really. They couldn't quite nail down the possession of the land. Even though this was happening, we still learn of faithful people within this time, such as Rahab, Caleb, and Joshua. What's the takeaway for us today? God keeps his promises. He's with us wherever we go, and he's faithful. Maybe today you feel like this can't possibly apply to you, but we want you to know that it absolutely does. God hasn't left you. Hang tight to that truth and search the scripture for all the promises he's given you. You can also give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. We trust that if you don't enjoy speaking on the phone, you'll visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and search for our questions and comments link to connect with us. Don't worry, it's safe and secure and completely confidential. We'd like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Feel free to refer to our website for service times, thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to listen again next time for more great teaching here on Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.